on. And let me announce JG's new name.
Okay.
This is the new name, his radio name.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
No.
Wes, don't take my segment, Wes. Don't do it. Don't turn my listeners
off. Okay, hold on. It's JG Smooth now.
JG Smooth.
JG Smooth.
Yeah, wait a second.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, night, or whatever time it might be. Thank you for tuning in to the first ever Fourth and Long podcast here on theswampreport.com. As you heard in the intro, I am your host, Mr. JG Smooth, and the purpose of this podcast is if some of you, I write the most of the Dallas Cowboys content on the website. I also write some other football content on the website, and I felt like to not have you guys have to read thousand-word stories here, why don't I just, you know, start this podcast, expand on my stories. We'll have some content on here, mainly focusing on the Dallas Cowboys, on Big 12 football, mainly football as a whole. So I want to get started by introducing the first segment of the podcast. Now, I like to call Four Downs, where I want to highlight four key points from what I've seen over the past week. So I'm going to start off by, as you know, Dallas has had two preseason games so far, both losses. And I have four takeaways here that I want to start off with. The first one is the number seven. You might be asking, why the number seven? Let me tell you why the number seven. That is the amount of sacks the Dallas Cowboys have allowed so far in two games. Seven sacks. And it's not mainly by the starters here. This is by the backups. Again, we know what the starters can do. When healthy, they are one of the better lines, not the best line all of pro football. But the key thing to look for in the preseason was and still is the offensive line depth. And right now, it is not a pretty sight. Chaz Green, we all know, you know, last year when Tyron Smith had that back injury, he came in against the Falcons and proceeded to allow 6.5 sacks to Adrian Claiborne. You know, not a good look. And from what I've seen from Chaz Green so far, that game effectively has shot his confidence to all get out. If you watch him now, his movements, his body language is of a man right now that doesn't believe in what he's doing. If you watch him from start to finish on the plays that they show when they follow him, I mean, he'll start off strong, and then the minute he's beat, he just gives up. I mean, it's almost kind of sad to watch in a way. Because a few years ago, we're talking about Chaz Green as a possible replacement for either Doug Free or Tyron Smith. And now we're talking about a guy, you know, who might not even be a Cowboy this time next year or even past the preseason at this point. But Joe Looney has impressed me so far. He started at both guard and center the past couple of games and has done well. I like what I've seen out of him. At this point, he is about the best backup that the Cowboys have. Not saying that's a bad thing, but it's not a good thing. I don't expect Dallas to have, you know, this deep 10-man line. But you would like to have at least two or three backups you can depend on as when someone does go down. You know, at some point, Tyron Smith with his back problems is probably going to miss a couple of games. And right now, I'm not seeing any for surefire tackles right now because, again, you can't throw out Chaz Green again. Unless you want another 6.5 sack performance here, or you run the risk of you can move Lyle Collins from right tackle to left tackle. But again, Chaz Green is still on the field, so is that really helping you? Probably not. And then another lineman here who I have been highly, highly disappointed in is Connor Williams out of Texas, second round pick. He was an All-American, All Big 12 guy at Texas. He's supposed to be a plug-and-play guy, and I know we're moving him from tackle to guard, but I mean, right now, they're saying plug and play. Right now, Connor Williams can't even plug his hands onto a defender and block somebody. If you watched him play, there's been so many times he's missed the block. When they pull him, he's there in front of the back, either just hits nobody, completely whiffs on a block, or just doesn't attempt to block a soul. And we can't, you're Connor Williams here. We're plugging you in. You're tasked with protecting opening holes, and he's doing neither right now. He has struggled mightily in both aspects of the game. And that really concerns me right now. That really concerns me because if we thought Dak Prescott got, you know, beat down last year, it's going to be worse. Because, again, Connor Williams is not looking good right now, and they let Jonathan Cooper go because of the fact that, hey, we got Connor Williams in there. We can plug him in there and start him from day one. And right now, I have to say, it has been extremely disappointing, to say the least. And again, the other linemen that they brought in have done no better. The seven sacks allowed, again, I would say at least five, six of them have been when the backups are in the game. Now, part of that is due to the fact that, yes, Dak Prescott is mobile and the other two quarterbacks are not. Okay, I get that. But still, at some point in time, you still have to block. I don't care if you have a statue back there. When Cooper Rush is out there, Cooper Rush, we all know, is a solid guy. If you recall the preseason that he had a season ago and it earned him that roster spot that basically forced Kellen Moore into retirement, he's taking a beating. He can't even get a pass off. It's that bad at times. So I need to see improvement from them quickly. My second down would be the defense because another sore spot. And I want to start this off again with another number, 30. You're asking again, why maybe this time the number 30? That is the number of one Anthony Brown. Anthony Brown has been absolutely downright atrocious this preseason. Every time you turn around, he's getting beat. He's getting called for holding, getting called for pass interference. He's missing assignments. He's missing tackles. Think about a guy here 2 years ago, sixth-round pick out of Purdue, was solid at nickelback. You could think, hey, Dallas might have found a steal here in the sixth round. No. Unless he can only play nickelback, because right now he started the first game at corner, and I don't believe he started last night. I believe he played. I know he played a lot. I think he was the first corner off the bench. But man, is he bad. I mean, you're counting on him to be your number two corner, or at least fighting for your number two corner spot. And I have to say, I mean, he's falling behind the race because Shadobia Awuzie, I hope I'm saying his name right, Awuzie, had a nice pick the other night. It was nice. I like him. If he can stay healthy, I think he'll be good. He'll be better. As will Jordan Lewis. He'll also be better back there. But Anthony Brown, I mean, right now, you could make the case by saying that Duke Thomas, who was a practice squad guy last year for both the Cowboys and the Texans right now, is pushing him. I mean, Anthony Brown leads right now in tackles with six. Okay, that's fine. But again, a lot of that comes from after he's getting beat. And Duke Thomas so far, not only has Duke Thomas been one of the main kick and punt returners, but he also happens to have a interception. So again, the secondary has been below average. Byron Jones has looked better. I know Byron Jones is never going to be your Darrell Revis lockdown corner. But I do think with Byron Jones now staying at corner full-time, hopefully, that he can develop there. I've always said and I always believed that having him go back and forth between corner and safety has really hampered his growth. I think he has to master one position before you can master another. I don't think he's good enough offhand to just be able to play both, you know, at a high level. So I'm glad to see him stick there. I mean, the rest of the secondary, though, honestly, isn't bad. They experimented some with Jeff Heath playing a little hybrid linebacker safety. I kind of like what I saw there. It helped out the pass rush a lot, in my opinion. And the pass rush itself wasn't bad. We got to see the return of Randy Gregory. That has been well over a year now. He got to play in about 8 to 10 snaps and didn't look that bad for someone that hadn't touched the football field in over a year. He wasn't that bad. You can clearly see he's still in the best of shape, which is probably a given. But he got back there. He nearly had a couple of sacks. So I like what I saw out of him. DeMarcus Lawrence again. This is a big year for him. This is a contract year. He's looked pretty good so far. Tyrone Crawford's looked solid. I think the key for the pass rush here is going to be what they do at tackle outside of Malik Collins and David Irving. Richard Ash has not looked bad. He played some last year. You know, he's 320 pound. He's not bad in there. They got some other dudes in there. Haven't really done much. And I think that's going to be the key is the middle. I think they have enough outside pass rush to force the quarterback up into the pocket. But then what happens from there? Are we going to be able to get the sacks after you force him up into the pocket? Are you going to get that pass rush to make him force a bad pass? Or are you going to just, get blocked and then let him take off? So that I think is key there. Linebackers, we finally got to see Sean Lee in his ever excellent self. He looked good. And the main thing with Sean Lee every year is staying healthy. They played Jalen Smith a lot at the middle linebacker spot. That's who replaced Sean Lee last year after the injury. Their first round pick, Leighton Vander Esch. He is a middle linebacker, so I was kind of surprised that they played Jalen Smith for the majority of the first three quarters. He didn't look that bad. I think he's going to show some improvement. But again, the secondary to me right now is the biggest concern, especially that corner spot. I'm looking for Anthony Brown to just make some strides. They're giving him every opportunity to make some strides right now, and he's making strides, but not in the right direction. My third down is receivers and the tight ends. They have been a nice surprise for me. I was concerned after the departure of Dez Bryant and the retirement of Taysom Witten, but I have been really surprised. Michael Gallup, the third round pick out of Colorado State, has looked good right now. I think him and Dak have a pretty good chemistry, at least as much as you can at this point in time. Right now he leads the Cowboys with 46 yards and one touchdown. Last season at Colorado State, he had 100 catches for 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns, averaged 14 yards per catch. And, I mean, he's a guy that's got some size to him. He's 6'1", 205 pounds. He's looking right now that he could be that go-to guy. I know they've been saying that Cole Beasley is the go-to guy. He hasn't played yet in this preseason. I don't think there's really a need for him to play with his injury history as well. But you have to think, just watching the past two games, that Michael Gallup has a nice argument here to say that he could be the go-to guy. Aside from him, you need Terrence Williams, who I've been high on for quite some time now. I was high on him in Baylor. I've been high on him. He needs to take that next step. Now is the time. They've been talking about how he's improved his route running the past few years and all that, but you watched him yesterday, and you couldn't even tell when he was on or off the field. Not good. Now, to his credit, he did have a nice touchdown catch, but still, you need Terrence Williams to show more than those flashes. You need him to really, really put it together this year. You also need the signings of Allen Hurns and Deontay Thompson, neither of which have done anything so far. You need them to step up as well to assist, and then. You still got Noah Brown, who I'm really high on. Signed my pick last year out of The Ohio State. Another big physical guy. If you're looking for that goal line threat, you know, that, that Dez Bryant was, this is a guy. I'm sure Sooner fans remember him and Norman with those three touchdown catches in the end zone. You know, I think he can be a pretty good asset there. And then at tight end is where I've been really surprised. You know, I was worried there that, you know, after the retirement of both Witten and James Hanna due to, you know, the series of injuries that he suffered, I thought, you know, we might struggle there. But as of right now, I like a little three-man rotation they have between Jeff Swain, who has played some the past couple of years, Blake Jarwin, undrafted out of Oklahoma State last season, was on the practice squad. He's looked well. And then the rookie Dalton Schultz out of Stanford has also looked well. And then you can't forget about Rico Gathers, the former Baylor power forward, who is second currently in receiving yards with 41. So, you know, they have a nice three-man group there. I really like it. I feel like you can do a lot of things with that three-man group out there. Swain's more of a receiver. You know, Gathers with his size and speed is a matchup nightmare. And then, you know, Dalton Schultz, you know, people forget about him in Stanford, but he was a key reason to why both Chris McCaffrey and Bryce Love had the seasons, you know, that they've had. So I'm really high on that group. Which brings me to my fourth down, which is Dak Prescott. You know, I was curious, as were some Cowboy fans, on how he would do without, you know, his two safety blankets and Witten and Dez Bryant. And so far, he's looked pretty good. The first game, he was 3 of 3, didn't miss any passes. You know, this past game, this past Saturday, he played almost a half. Again, didn't look terrible. I think the offense, especially once you see Elliott touch the field, I think that you know, that offense will be able to, again, if the line can stay healthy. The offense to me isn't as much of a problem as I originally thought that it might be, especially with the emergence of Gallup and the tight ends. I mean, I'm liking it. If the defense can, you know, come together here, you know, I think the Cowboys could have, you know, a nice little season here. I think they might surprise some teams here. They're kind of under the radar now with, you know, without a receiver. You're assuming you're going to just hand off to Elliott every single play. But I like what I've seen from Dak. And so that was the four downs. But I have some more takeaways besides that. One of the big ones to me is Rod Smith. We know Rod Smith was a fullback last year, got moved to running back because of the Elliott suspension and the retirement of Darren McFadden. And Rod Smith has looked well. He's lost, I think he said, between 10 to 15 pounds, and you can really tell. Rod Smith is faster. He's leaner. You know, he got 13 carries last night. He's looked well. He leads right now with 81 yards, and he can also catch out of the backfield too. So, you know, you got to look at that. Bo Scarborough, who I think could be the steal of the draft, seventh round pick out of. He only has 31 yards, but remember, he's playing behind, you know, pretty much the third string in line. And again, I'm telling you, you know about the line struggles, so. I like him. And then Darius Jackson is a guy that they picked out of Eastern Michigan a couple of seasons ago in the sixth round. That's been on some practice squads with Dallas and Cleveland, and he's also looked well so far. So I think they did a good job of addressing the lack of depth that they had at running back. I think that is a strength now. I don't think you have to worry about Elliott getting run into the ground. I'm sure he appreciates that. And Elliott also has not played, but he has been working on his route running. So, you know, that's just another weapon right there. Another guy that I've been impressed with is Mike White, you know, the rookie quarterback, fifth-round pick out of Western Kentucky. You know, I mean, he actually has 139 yards passing so far, which is really surprising because he has almost no time to throw the ball, almost no time. But, you know, this is a guy, if you don't know the story, he started off at South Florida under Willie Taggart. beat out by Quentin Flowers, and then transferred to Western Kentucky, where in 2 years, he threw for 8,540 yards, that's third all-time in program history. Last year, he threw for 4,177 yards with 26 touchdowns to eight interceptions. Completed 65.7% of his passes. You know, he played in a simplified spread offense, wasn't two read, you know, offense. So the stats might not be, you know, all telling, but I mean, he's got size, you know. He's 6'4", 224 pounds. He's got a pretty decent arm, and, you know, like I said, I mean, this would be 2 years in a row where the Cowboys have come away here with two quarterbacks. You know, you look at last year with Cooper Rush. I think we know the season that he had, pretty much forcing Kellen Moore, I wouldn't say into retirement at that time, because, you know, he was released and they brought him back as third string, but, you know, with Mike White, and you still had Cooper Rush, you know, Kellen Moore now is the quarterback's coach. So I think the Cowboys, you know, are doing a good job there of building some depth behind Prescott. And overall, I mean, I've really been impressed by the offense. Like I said, if the line can just stay the course, they can stay healthy. If Connor Williams lives up to the hype, which right now is not looking like he is, but again, it's only been two games. You know, then Dallas has a pretty good shot. You know, in the secondary, again, the corner spot is kind of short, but I like the safeties they have. Xavier Woods, another sixth-round pick who I was really high on at Louisiana Tech. If you saw some of his college highlights when I wrote the draft recap last season and included some highlights in there, that man brings it. You know, for his size, he's 5'11", 205 pounds. You know, he really lives up to his name. Xavier Woods does lay the wood. So, you know, he got dinged up, though. He has a hamstring. I don't think it's anything too serious. But and then, you know, you have Jeff Heath back there. He's solid. He's dependable. We know what he can do. So, and then we have they have Tyree Robinson, who I had no idea who this guy was, to be honest, until yesterday when Xavier Woods did go down and they threw him in there. And he's an undrafted safety out of Oregon. He's got good size. At 6'2", 202 pounds. He had 48 tackles and 2 picks last year for Oregon. And so far this preseason, he has 5 tackles. So he's a guy that might honestly, especially with the injury to Jamil Showers right now, has a chance to make the 53-man roster. You didn't know about Jamil Showers here. This is a guy that's just kind of had some tough luck, in a sense. If you don't know his story, Jamil Showers, I think he was a 4-star quarterback out of Killeen, Texas. He went to play for Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M, but unfortunately got there at the same time as Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Manziel. So, as you can imagine, he didn't see the field. He transferred to Texas El Paso. And fortunately for him there, he got there right as head coach Mike Price retired. And they brought in Sean Kugler, the former Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line coach, who brought in a run-heavy offense with Aaron Jones, who's now with the Packers. And so, now you're stuck there throwing the ball 15 times a game. So, you know, naturally he went when undrafted. The Cowboys gave him a shot in preseason and showed what he could do. And he's been on a practice squad the past 2 years as a quarterback. Last season they moved him to safety. He again was on the practice squad, but was looking pretty good this preseason so far, especially on special teams. I would like to think that if what happened to him Saturday did not happen, that he might have had a shot to make the actual roster, but. He went to make a tackle on defense, and when he pushed the guy out of bounds and he landed, his knee buckled. And you never want to see a knee buckle, but his knee buckled, and it's not looking good. They kind of had to pretty much, like, walk him off the field. So, you know, you hope it's not too bad, because you have to root for a guy like Jamil Showers. And again, he was not bad as a safety. So, you know, overall, the Cowboys, I mean, you know, they've had some concerns, but again, you know, that last preseason game, I think, will tell a whole lot especially up front and in the secondary. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not only going to discuss the Dallas Cowboys, but also some Big 12 football. And as you all may or may not know, I have wrote previews over every Big 12 team. You can find it on the website. But again, because I don't want to, you know, have you all suffer through 1,000-plus word stories here, I'm going to build off of what I wrote on some of those. And the order in which it was released was from first to worst. I think I kind of want to do this in reverse order this time and go from worst to first. So I want to talk a little bit about the Kansas Jayhawks. And I really think Kansas could have a good season. Now, I know you're probably laughing right now at me, but I've watched Kansas closely. And I know you're wondering, why are you watching Kansas closely? I've watched Kansas closely because, you know, I'm a fan of David Beatty. I think the job that he's done and is trying to do is admirable. I mean, the program he took over after the failed Charlie Weiss era, where he gutted the roster with JUCOs and grad transfers, you have to just, you know, give him credit for trying to do it the right way. You know, he's prior to this year's class, you know, he's mainly gone all freshman. He's tried to do it the right way. He's tried to build depth. You know, I mean, I'm gonna just read you some of the stats, especially on defense. In his first season, his defense allowed 561 yards and 46.1 points per game. Again, 561 yards and 46.1 points per game. You know, it was brutal. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that watching Kansas in 2015 going 0-12 was pretty sight, because it was not. But the one thing that has always been a calling card of Kansas under the Beatty era is, while he's only had 3 wins in 3 years, his team plays hard for him. And, you know, that can't be understated right there. That says a lot, you know, when you're getting beat 50-7 or 42-3, and you're still fighting hard. I think that says a lot about the coach right there. I think they play hard for David Beatty, and you have to respect David Beatty. And then his second year, you know, they upset Texas. Was a big win for him. You thought they were turning the corner then, but they took a step back last year. As hard as that is, they managed to take a step back, went from 2-1 win. But again, they actually lost a decent amount off that 2016 team. But I really, I'm high on them this season. I think they can actually get 3-4 wins. And no, I'm not joking. I'm being dead serious here. I think they can really get 3-4 wins. You know, the home opener against Nickel State, I definitely see that as a winnable game. I think the big game for them is when they travel to Central Michigan, and I know you're laughing at this, but they have lost their last 2 games against MAC teams. And pretty handily too, by 16 and 21 points. So, you know, that's going to be huge for them, because if you know, Kansas right now actually has currently the NCAA records. They've lost 49 straight road games. Yeah, 49 straight road games. So if Kansas can knock off some Michigan here, that I think they can really just gather some confidence. If you looked at it, at the team, I mean, they have some close losses. They almost upset TCU twice. You know, they gave Baylor, you know, I mean, they've been giving teams, you know, some games. I know, you know, they gave Kent State a game last year with a 10-point loss. You know, they're giving some teams some games, but, you know, I know it's still going to be a battle for them, especially offensively. You know, they have some playmakers. You know, you have Steven Sims, actually one of the better receivers in the whole conference. He's a guy. He's not the biggest dude, but he is a slot guy. He is agile. He is quick. He's got pretty good hands. You know, they have Khalil Herbert in the backfield. You know, Kansas actually, believe it or not, quietly has one of the better backfields in the conference. Khalil Herbert, as you know, had that monster game against West Virginia, where he had 291 yards. And then unfortunately for him was dinged up after that. And, you know, but, you know, Khalil Herbert, he's good. He's good. You have him. They have Don Williams, who was a four-star. Yes, a four-star. He was dinged up last year as a true freshman, but did have 176 yards and three touchdowns. And then they brought in Puka Williams, another four-star from the state of Louisiana, and he turned down his home state LSU Tigers. So you know, they had a nice three-headed backfield there. Up front, they have I hope I'm not going to butcher this man's name too bad. Hakeem Adingi, actually one of the better tackles in the conference too. He's a guy that actually has some NFL potential. He's, 6'4", 300 pounds, has started every game of his career for Kansas. He's a guy. For me, I think the question with Kansas offensively here is going to be the offensive line and the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks have been atrocious since Dan Beatty's been there. You know, they had Montel Cozart, he had the talent. He could run, he could throw, he just wasn't consistent. He ended his career at Boise State. They had Ryan Willis, another true freshman, went in terrible form. And, you know, they had Carter Stanley, who to me is their best option. They had Carter Stanley, and then last year they brought in Peyton Bender, former Washington State quarterback by way of JUCO, and he wasn't that hot last year. He had 10 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, so not the best numbers. And then they bring in another JUCO this year, Miles Kendrick, who they are high on now. They were high on Carter Stanley, they were high on Peyton Bender, they were high on Ryan Willis, so you can only hope for them that pans out. And, I think if they can block, I like Carter Stanley. Carter Stanley to me seemed like a guy that you could actually win with. I really do. I know he had a 4-7 ratio season to go, but I just like Carter Stanley. Again, at receivers, you have Steven Sims, but if Jeremiah Booker, who's a senior, if he can stay healthy, and then if you can get Devin Charlotte, the Alabama transfer, to show up, he had two catches last year. You kind of want more from the Alabama transfer. If he can step up, and then, for the state transfer, Marvin Sanders at tight end can come in there as a grad transfer and step up. I think Kansas can do it. I know Kansas, they averaged 18.7 points and 330 yards a game last year, but I think they're going to be better this year. I know they're going to be better this year. I'm going to go on a limb and say that right now. You can hold me to that. Kansas is going to be better offensively. Defensively, they do lose Dorrance Armstrong Jr., who is with the Dallas Cowboys. But they have guys back. You have Daniel Wise. Daniel Wise is, again, one of the better tackles in the conference, another NFL prospect. You have Joe Dineen Jr., 137 tackles last year, is one of the better linebackers in the whole country. Not only the conference, but in the country, too. He's a solid guy. He's a Lawrence native. You got Mike Lee. He had a rough sophomore season, but he was a freshman All American. He was a all freshman defender in the Big 12 Conference. So I like what Kansas has. The schedule, Nicholls State at home. I'm gonna say that's probably going to be a win. At Michigan, that game, I'm gonna say they win that game. I'm gonna say Kansas is going to win that game. They're going to end the streak. And they get Rutgers at home, and Rutgers at home will be a test, because Rutgers is also a program on the rise in the Big Ten. They made some strides too last year, So then that started conference play. They go to Baylor, and Baylor's another team that I'm going to discuss more in depth next time. But Baylor, Matt Rhule will have that team in the bowl this year. You can go ahead and mark that down. Matt Rhule will have Baylor in a bowl. I'm not confident in Matt Rhule. Then they get OSU at home, which is a loss. They go to Morgantown. That's a loss. They get a bye. They go to Texas Tech, who I'm also somewhat high on. That's probably going to be a loss. I'll just go down. You don't have to say much here. But, I think they have chances to maybe upset Iowa State. I know Iowa State's coming off one of their better seasons in program history. But, Kansas always has that one conference game where, they push the team. They get blowout. And then, at the end of the day, they somehow piece together, a decent game against somebody. So, I'm liking Kansas. If I was to give you a win total right now, I'm going to say three wins. I'm going to give them the most win total out of the David Beatty era. I know three wins is not a whole lot, but it would mark improvements. I think, with Kansas getting the new athletic director there, I don't know if David Beatty's job is as safe as it once was. So I think it's crucial for David Beatty to at least show some improvement, not get blown out in every conference game, win the road game. These sound like simple steps, but at a program like Kansas here, where you're short on talent still, you're short on depth, you're short on experience, like you're just short everywhere. That's no easy task. So I'm really high on Kansas. I do like what they bring to the table. Steven Sims is one of the better receivers in the conference. He's a heck of a slot receiver. I know as hard as it is, Kansas. It's something about Kansas. You ever just like a team and you don't know why you like the team. That's me in Kansas. It's just like the way they play, no matter what the score is, like I said earlier, they keep fighting, they keep playing hard, and you just have to respect a team like that. But that's gonna do it for this for the inaugural episode of the Fourth and Long podcast. I hope you all thoroughly enjoyed it. This is the first time that I've done it, and a little bit about me before I leave you all. And I told you earlier and in the intro, I'm JG Smooth. That is the radio name that I was given. So I will use it here. But on the website, I'm Jonathan Goodow. You can find my articles on the website. I'm currently a mass communications major at the University of Central Oklahoma. I am the sports editor of The Vista. And I graduate in May, so I'm really looking forward to that. But as far as my sports teams go, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I guess I know they are rivals. That does not bother me because that rivalry has been dormant really for quite some time. And yeah, they played a few years ago, and I have no in that game. I pulled for nobody because I like both teams. Whoever won, I was happy with. My favorite college team outside of UCO would probably be OU. I'm a huge OU fan, but pretty much, everybody that's not a rival of OU, I like. And as far as basketball goes, I know this is a football podcast, but, I do like basketball. My team is, and I say this proudly, is the Brooklyn Nets. Yes, it is the Brooklyn Nets. Yes, I know I am in the state of Oklahoma, where it is Thunder Country, I get that, but I am a proud Brooklyn Nets fan. I'll go ahead and tell you a story of why I am a Nets fan, because I get asked this a lot. Back in 2012, the Nets had a lot of my favorite players. They had my favorite player, and still is, in ISO, Joe Johnson. They had Joe Wallace, Brook Lopez, Jerry Stackhouse, Reggie Evans, Keith Bogans, Andre Blatch, I could go on and on, but so I became a fan of them because they had all my favorite players. And then once they all left, then I realized they kind of grew on me. So, we've had some down years, we've pretty much gave Boston their roster. So Boston fans, you're welcome. It's been kind of painful watching NBA drafts, all those lottery picks, but we're getting there. Spencer Dinwiddie. My second favorite player in the league now behind Joe Johnson. But you know, we're getting there. But you know, that's just a little bit about you know, if you want to argue with me about that, I'd be more than happy. I'm telling you, the Nets, 30 wins this year. 30 to 35 wins this year. But that is a little bit about me. If you have any questions, or any particular subject you want me to discuss on the podcast, you can feel free to leave a comment there. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions. If you have any opinions on anything that you want to share, again, I'd be more than happy to share that. But again, I want to thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of the Fourth and Long Podcast. This is JG Smooth, and I will see you guys next time.
Bye. Have a beautiful time.